And in this time, we concentrate on how God comes into our world. God comes to us to bring us His love and His peace and His joy and the hope that comes from knowing Him. Which may be why it seems just so very odd that our gospel today from Luke chapter 21 starts with signs of love and joy and peace and hope, but signs that seem to be about the opposite of those things. Fear and foreboding and distress and confusion. What is the good news in all of that? So let's take a minute and chew on that gospel reading that we just heard, because this particular section of Jesus' teaching is a little bit strange. But it does contain a word of joy and hope for us that I believe we especially need to hear in this Advent, our second pandemic Advent 2021. And let's clear one misunderstanding, potential misunderstanding, out of the way. When Jesus is talking about signs of fear and foreboding, he is not talking about the fact that his return, the second coming, will be a scary, terrifying event. Ever since the Left Behind series became popular in the United States, that series of books and movies that came out in the 1990s and early 2000s, if you've read them, you may be aware they portray, they imagine what would happen if the Book of Revelation were to take place in modern times. If you haven't read them, you may have heard about them. Anyway, ever since those came out, I've discovered that people tend to imagine that the return of Jesus will be just like the books portray, and that Jesus coming to us will be sort of this terrifying, scary event with big trials and tribulations. Left Behind is, by the way, not a very good interpretation of the Book of Revelation, if you've read it. Think of it more as a novel than theology, but that's a different sermon for a different time, because this is about Luke, not Revelation. So some other time we'll talk about Left Behind. But the language that Jesus is using here is kind of similar to other parts of the Bible, where we hear about trials and tribulations and fear and foreboding. But here in Luke, Jesus is actually talking about one very specific crisis that his followers would have known about within one generation of his death and resurrection. That was the invasion and the fall of Jerusalem in the year 70. And here he is giving his disciples instructions in advance about how to have faith when it feels like the world is ending. And Luke and others wrote those words down. And the church has continued to pass them down as sacred scripture, because the reality is that the world is always ending somewhere, someone. If he were speaking to us today, I imagine, Jesus probably would not have said there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and distress among nations confused by the pouring of the sea and the waves. In ancient times, people looked at the sea and the sky to figure out whether or not the world as they knew it would be predictable. But we look elsewhere. And so I imagine Jesus might have said something like, there will be signs in the employment numbers, the inflation rate, and the increase in carbon dioxide emissions. And all over the world, there will be distress and confusion about what? Well, today, let's just say the outbreak of yet another variant of the coronavirus. We look at these things to tell us whether the future will be like the past. Stay careful. And the question is, what do we, as people of faith, as his followers, do when it seems like the world around us is unstable? be like the past? Where will be our source of joy? So far, the signs of our own times do not point to stability, and we do not have to look far to find fear and foreboding and pain and distress and confusion. It is as real as the air rage and road rage around us, as real as controversies about masks and vaccines. There will be signs. We promise. Where are we? But in the midst of the pain and the anger, the confusion, there is another way. There is a greater sign. They will see, Jesus promises, the Son of Man coming in a cloud, which is yet another strange image. It's a prophecy that comes from the book of Daniel, and one that early Christians found fulfilled in the ascension of Jesus, where Luke tells us later, Jesus is lifted up from the earth in what? In his ascension, crucified and risen, in his ascension, Jesus is seated at God's right hand, and from there he rules everywhere. He's Lord for all times and in all places. In his ascension, God turned toward the world in love and mercy and through Jesus. God who offered the world forgiveness with death and resurrection of Jesus. God, in the ascension, God makes the offer of love permanent. And so the real power Jesus is trying to tell us here, the real power that rules our lives, the real power at work in the world, will not be announced by the Fed or written into a mandate, but it will be found in the outstretched arms of our crucified and risen Savior, who now lives and rules. And so makes his offer of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and joy and peace and hope and all those other great Advent words permanent to us. They are actually a real option for us as a way of life. There's joy in that. A time of crisis is a time to welcome Jesus as our Redeemer. The signs of instability are a time and opportunity to look to a greater stability. An opportunity to be renewed and reshaped. Just because the world around us is in crisis does not mean that the crisis has to control us. We've been redeemed for a life of service and obedience to the way of Jesus. The temptation in a time of crisis is to give in and let it shape us in ways that aren't good for us or for others or for the planet. For some, that temptation might look like giving in to the rage that is now disturbingly present around us. For others, that temptation might look like numbing out our feelings with an extra martini or two, or mindlessly scrolling through social media. Be on your guard, says Jesus, that your hearts aren't weighed down with drunkenness or dissipation or the worries of this life. Why? Because you can't numb out selectively. If you try to deaden the crisis of your feelings about the crisis, you'll also miss the opportunity and the possibility to stand up and raise your head and ask what Jesus is doing. How can we come up with him? But how will we welcome it? That is the Word of God's question to us this Advent. That is the question of crisis for which there are always signs. The goal of these 4 weeks in the life of the church is not to pretend that Christmas hasn't happened yet, so that we can be happy when we finally get to December 24th and can sing all the Christmas carols that have been blaring in Starbucks already for a month. The purpose of these 4 weeks is to make the connection here in our hearts between the baby in the manger and the one who now rules and reigns at God's right hand. Because they are one and the same imprint of God's very being. And when Jesus comes again, he will not come differently than he did the first time. Weak, boldly, on the side of those who are poor, who have no power in the world. Full of love and grace. Have you ever tried to be angry when there's a baby in the room? Please calm our anger. They give us something to focus on. And the question for us now is how do we live each and every day as though that child is the one who rules our hearts, our lives, our world? At the very end of today's service, we're going to be singing again, Wake Awake for Night is Flying. It's a 500-year-old, at least, Advent hymn that's often popular and sung in Lutheran churches around this time. I was interested to learn a couple of years ago that hymn was actually written during a pandemic. It was written during the time of the lockdown in Europe. And by a pastor who was burying his flock, funerals, with around about 3 funerals, at least some scholars think, every single day. And yet pay attention to the words of that hymn and imagine their background of praises. The words of the hymn are full of hope. Wake, awake, for night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying. Awake, Jerusalem, arise. Why? Because your Lord is coming to you. Some scholars think that the tune of the hymn itself probably comes from the church bells that constantly rang from all the funerals during that time. And yet, see what possibilities of hope exist in the crisis. Awake, people of God. See the signs, not of distress,